Carlos Velasquez is a Native American, an Otomi. It is because of his heritage that he was invited to the Arctic to visit with the Inuit as part of an intercultural exchange.
When they first told me, we'd like to send you up to Nunavut, I didn't know Nunavut from a hole in the ground. So I said, well, let me think about it. So I went to the library, looked it up, and I saw how far up north it was, how cold it was. And I told them, no, I really didn't feel like going that far north.
The following year, they asked him again, primarily because of his status as an American Indian elder. This time, he agreed. Once known as Eskimos, the Inuit are an isolated people and inhabit the Arctic regions of Siberia, Alaska, Greenland, and Canada, where Carlos visited. Primarily nomadic, efforts were made at the end of the 19th century and into the mid-20th century in an attempt to improve the conditions of the Inuit. However, the assimilation of the Canadian Inuit continues and is more by coercion than by choice. The acculturation of the Inuit involves education, schooling, something the Inuit were not and still aren't used to, and they remain very isolated. Thus, the reason for Carlos's visits. He has been there three times.
The first trip was primarily to speak at schools, kids, elders, anywhere that, you know, they had a group of people that you can speak to and kind of share as far as what's happening down here and self-esteem type of thing.
He speaks with the Inuit children about things like bullying, as they are not accustomed to being around other kids, and suicides. In the dark months, when the sun doesn't come out at all, there's a lack of activity. They have trouble finding things to do, and many teenagers are committing suicide.
The village I was at, or the hamlet, Pond Inlet, in February, which is all dark season, they had four suicides. They had a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and two 18-year-old boys had committed suicide. And I said, that's tragic. And that's just 1 month. They have many more.
The kids there are just like kids everywhere. They get bored. But unlike here, they have nowhere to go. Carlos says that the main thing the Inuit need is education, about health and hygiene, and in other areas as well.
The kids, if they make 15 or 16 years old and have teeth, they're lucky because all of a sudden they're being given money by the government, which, of course, they spend on sweets. They drink sodas, they eat candy, and they are still looking forward to things that we know is going to happen, but it hasn't. Sugar diabetes is going to be a very big problem. Of course, the teeth are being a problem right now. Gangs are going to be a problem. They've never lived together, but it's going to happen. So these are things that they're going through, and the education system is as good as they can get because you have to get teachers that, you know, from down south in Canada to come up. And kids don't see any reason for algebra and geometry and things that could help them if they lived in any other place.
He reiterates the fact that having some of their own educated is critical. He applauds the Canadian government for taking those interested down to the capital, Iqaluit, for education. Even being the capital, the town has only 7,000 inhabitants.
But they do have training centers there, and after a year, they'll send them back as teachers. Well, I know compared to, you know, here, eight years of college still doesn't make you a qualified teacher in many areas. But up there, if you spend 1 year to a year and a half being trained, when you go back to some of these villages, you know more than just about everybody in that village. And you become a teacher, and because you're one of them, they'll listen. They'll say, well, this person is from my village, and look what they're doing. And I've seen it happen to a good friend, and I can see the effect it has on the youth. And that's basically what they need.
Not only do they need educators, but also people to be trained as mechanics to fix snowmobiles, electricians, carpenters, and people to work in stores. Prior to his work with the Inuit, Carlos was the environmental director for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation in North Carolina, where he resides. He has won many awards for his service in environmentalism. It is also because of his connections with environmental educators that he has been asked to visit the Arctic, where climate change is having a great effect. On his last visit, he spent time with the environmental people up there.
Going out and seeing what's happening, and actually, they were taking me out, showing me one area where they're losing sight of the winds. The winds blow and make dunes in the snow, and they can tell from looking at these dunes in the snow where the wind's coming from, how fast it's going. And unfortunately, the melting they had was freshwater, and we were going over freshwater, which they thought was heavy ice, and we went through it. And they were feeling very bad. Of course, I felt bad too. Fortunately, when it broke through the ice, it broke from the side, so we were able to climb off. But the idea being that they didn't even know it themselves, that this was unsafe, because they've been doing it all their lives. And every time I saw them or hear from them, they apologized to me because they felt it was their fault. They should have known. And they don't anymore. They can't go out on the ice. They can't go out after caribou where they used to.
Not only can they not go out on the ice, but holes in the ice used for fishing are getting bigger. And people are building mines for iron ore, leaving garbage behind, staining the earth, and killing the animals the Inuit hunt and rely on for food.
Man starts to go in there and pollute some of the areas, like where the narwhal live, where I happen to be. The narwhal and the belugas are the big things up there. And the areas that they breed are starting to become contaminated from people who are going up there for mining the iron ore, which is a pure ore up there.
The effects that humans have on the animals is not only environmental. People are tagging animals up there, as they do everywhere, to track them, where they eat, what they do.
A lot of times we don't take into consideration the animals themselves. A very sad case that I've seen more than once is the collars, these tracking collars that they put on polar bears. Now, polar bears they're sea animals. I mean, they can swim 50 miles and no problem. And they're made to chase the seals. And seals, when they're swimming, of course, it's safer for them to stay in the water. But they still have to breathe, so they'll make a breathe hole. And a breathe hole usually runs anywhere from 6 inches to a foot, depending how it's frozen closed. Well, when a polar bear is chasing a seal, if you ever look at a picture of a polar bear sideways, you can see their head is long and pointed compared to a brown bear or a grizzly, which is flat. So what happens is when they go into the air hole to try to grab the seal, when they have the seal, or even if they miss it, they can't get back through the hole because this collar is holding them in it. And it's causing a lot of problems because the bears are choking themselves trying to get out. So what we think is a wonderful thing to do when we get in there and wholeheartedly do it, let's stop and think of what the ramifications are, what the consequences are of what we're doing.
Climate change is having a real effect in the Arctic. Carlos mentions the glacial effect. As a glacier melts, it is alleviating pressure on the snow and earth beneath it, causing the earth to expand, resulting in massive flooding. He also recalls a phone call he received from a friend in Iqaluit.
And he was yelling. He says, "It's December." He says, "It's almost Christmas, and it's raining." They have never had rain in Iqaluit in December. And the bay, which is their Frobisher Bay, hadn't frozen yet. And they were panicking. It's raining. And raining in December, that's a tragic thing to do. So these are all effects that are going to be happening. And a lot of people aren't even aware of what they're going to happen. A lot of scientists haven't even looked at these effects. They're seeing the water. They're seeing the conveyor, which is the Gulf Streams, which are changing. They're seeing that happening. But again, there's a lot of things that they're coming, you know. Like going to the movies, you see the previews, this is coming.
Not only does Carlos travel to the high Arctic, he travels all over the U.S., giving talks and programs, investing his own time and money. He says that he made a promise to the Inuit, and to himself, that he will take every opportunity to show what is happening up there. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.